us to take it in and experience that love letter that he sent to us. Jesus wrote me a letter I read tonight. Stood out in red letters from the black and white. He said, my yoke is easy, my burden's light. Jesus wrote me a letter I read tonight. He said, I am the way, I am the truth, I am the light that's guiding you. I'll give you rest from your weary soul. Come to the water and I'll make you whole. Just keep your eyes up, I'm more than enough. Love, your first love. Jesus wrote me a letter for times like these. He knew I would forget. He's got everything I need. He said, I'll never forsake you. I'll never leave. Jesus wrote me a letter for times like these. He said, I am the way, I am the truth, I am the light that's guiding you. I'll give you rest from your weary soul. Come to the water and I'll make you whole. Just keep your eyes up, I'm more than enough. Love, your first love. He finds me, he knows me, he tells me the truth, convicts me and saves me. He's making me new. He builds me and breaks me. He holds me together. Jesus wrote me a letter I read tonight. Stood out in red letters from the black and white. Oh, I am the way, I am the truth, I am the light that's guiding you. I'll give you rest from your weary soul. Come to the water and I'll make you whole. Just keep your eyes up, I'm more than enough. Keep your eyes up, I'm more than enough. Love, your first love.
That was something. Thank you, Vicki. Morning. Before we get started, I just want to make the first announcement of our, listen to this, 11th annual women's conference. This year it's called Submission Possible. Judy said she's going to teach everything she's ever taught in one session this year, 5 Thursdays. So please plan to attend the 1st, the 8th, the 15th, the 22nd, and the 29th. And guys, if you bring your wives, we have a special treat for you called pizza and wings outside. But nevertheless, it's a wonderful conference. We can't wait to get it underway and to hear it. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. The message this morning, Under Grace, our series Under Grace, This is part five, really part four, second part of part four. Grateful, graceful, and gracious. Sunday, August 7th, 2022. Yesterday was Susie and my 45th anniversary. Imagine that. Time is rolling on. I won't tell you what Dan and Judy's anniversary it is this year. If it's our 45th, it has to be your 55th. 55 years. Woo! Some of you also. Long time. You say, well, I don't know how we made it that far. By the grace and mercy of God. Romans 6:14 is our touchstone verse, which says, for sin shall not be your master anymore. Sin shall not be master over you. For you are not under law. That's the law of God. You say, I thought the Ten Commandments were for everybody and for all time. They are, but not in the sense that you think. Not for salvation or for justification, sanctification, or glorification. Doesn't factor in. It's a schoolmaster to drag you and whip you to Christ. That's what it's for. When it says it's a schoolmaster, bring us to Christ, means a disciplinarian that makes us come to realize eventually that we need Christ because we can't keep the law. It's too high. It's too hard. It's too heavy and holy. And we're too weak to keep it. That's the story of Romans 8:2. What the law could not do because of the weakness of the flesh, God did by sending his son in the likeness of sinful flesh to be a sin offering. And by so doing, he condemned sin in the flesh of his son. Therefore, we have this grace, salvation. This is so great. Salvation, grace, salvation. So, for sin shall not be master over you, for you're not under law, but under grace. That is the gift and government of grace. There is no fluff in grace. What grace does for you is it causes you to follow the Lord and to lean hard upon him because you understand and are filled full with gratitude for all that he's done and given you. So, after further investigation, I should have done this ahead of time, but I didn't. I found another 176 verses with the Hebrew verb chesed, noun chesed, translated loving kindness. And it is the equivalent of charis in the New Testament in the Greek, translated grace, loving kindness. 176 verses. And then there are seven verses with the plural of chesed, translated loving kindnesses. And then, of course, with the 122 verses where we find the word grace, Old and New Testament, chesed in the Old, charis in the New, we have 176 plus 7 plus 122 equals 305 verses of grace. You got your work cut out for you. We all do. Therefore, moving along, we have a lot more work to do than I thought that we did before. Now to introduce our subject this morning, Proverbs 30, verse 4. We devote this and dedicate this to the Lord and to his servant Ty, who has ascended into heaven and descended, who has gathered the wind in his fist, who has wrapped the waters in his garment, who has established all the ends of the earth. What is his name? Or his son's name? Surely you know. I love that verse. You see, what's it have to do with our message? Nothing at all. Just want to show you who Christ is and just remind you that he's the object and the subject of every message. So, we certainly know better who he is, who his son is, who God's son is, than they did in times past in the Old Testament, under the Old Covenant. Far better than the Israeli or Israelite believers. For we have beheld his glory, that of the uniquely begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. Ephesians 4:8 identifies him and answers the questions of Proverbs 34. What's his name and who is his son? It says, therefore it says, when he, Christ, ascended on high, he led captive, a host of captives, and he gave gifts to men. Now this expression, he ascended, what does it mean except that he also had descended into the lower parts of the earth in those 3 days and nights that after his crucifixion, before his resurrection. He who descended is himself also he who ascended far above all the heavens, so that he might fill all things. The earth, the heavens and earth are full of his glory. Grace is the glorious theme. From beginning to end, grace is the doing of God. I hope you know that. The goodness of God, the kindness, and the severity of God, all of it. Because grace is a gift and government of God. The love of God, of course, that sponsors and bestows the far and away most blessed life that one can ever have, along with a pact of grace against grace. Grace upon grace, grace instead of grace, that never fails to meet or exceed every need that you'll ever have. My grace is sufficient for you. The Lord said to the Apostle Paul, who said, take away my affliction, and the messenger from Satan that keeps on buffeting me. And he said, my grace, the grace of me is enough for thee. For my strength is perfected, made perfect, in your weakness. Therefore, I will boast in my infirmity and my weakness, so that the grace and power of Christ might pitch a tent over me. Skinao might pitch his pavilion of power over me. That's what Paul said. And he's writing to us in the New Testament all about the grace of God. Nobody addresses it more thoroughly or abundantly than the Apostle Paul does. And we're going to see that in our series. So, 1 Corinthians 1:3, that's how far we've gotten, because we finished the mentions of grace in the verses of Romans. Now, 1 Corinthians 1:3, grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. With each new epistle, the grace is upon each and every one who reads the Word of God. That's what he's saying. He goes, here's the grace, it's coming at you, fast and furious, 1 through 7, coming at you. Grace in your face. All of it is the Word of his grace. Read all about it. No excuse for not knowing God's grace and being filled full with it. Having your gauge, your gratitude gauge on full at all times. It's your gratitude gauge. Having recognized and appreciated all the grace that's yours in Christ Jesus. For you've read about it and continue to do so day after day. How can you not know about his grace? So, grace is In case you didn't get this, in case you didn't decipher this from the messages so far, it's the love of God, always, which is expressed in goodness, kindness, blessing, and favor toward and upon the undeserving, that's us, who only believe in the person, work, and word of Jesus Christ, who rely not upon themselves and their work, but upon Christ and his finished work. Therefore, grace is without merit or effort. But one might say, you don't understand. No one's trying harder than I am. That's your problem. You're striving to gain, think about it, it's irrational, what's already yours. You just haven't received it. Grace is free, always and only. Since you don't deserve it and can't earn it, the only way to get it is to receive the gift. It's free of charge. Christ paid a terrible price to provide it, to obtain it and provide it for you. But for you, it's free of charge. Just take it. Keep on receiving grace. It's a special skill set to do so. Keep on receiving what you can't earn or deserve, work for, or repay of God's grace. It's yours by faith in the person of Jesus who did it all, so that you could have it all the only way possible, as a gift bought and paid for by another, by one who was sinless, taking your place, paying the debt that you incurred, exchanging your sin for his righteousness. In Hosea 14:4, anticipating all of this, the Lord says, since my anger has been turned aside from them, us, now I can love them freely. And he can and does. It's expressed in grace. No more enmity, no condemnation, no judgment awaits those who are saved by grace. Listen to 2 Corinthians 5:18 to 21. Now all these things are from God, who reconciled us to himself through Christ and gave us the ministry of reconciliation. Namely, that God was in Christ reconciling the world to himself, not counting their trespasses against them. And he has committed to us the word of reconciliation, a great privilege to proclaim it. Therefore, we're ambassadors of Christ. As though God were making an appeal through us, we beg you on behalf of Christ, be reconciled to God. For he made him who knew no sin to be sin on our behalf, that we might become or be made the righteousness of God in him. Isn't that good news? We're looking at grace as found in the Bible. Not the worldly definition of grace. Not saying grace before you eat. Although that's a good thing to do. Thanking God is saying grace. I told you before there were 122 passages, but I forgot to include the ones that sub loving kindness or kindnesses for grace or favor, which is the same Hebrew word, chesed. So we add 183 more. Makes 305. Therefore, we'll never finish this study before some of us go to be with the Lord. I'm afraid. I'm not afraid at all. I'm confident. Nevertheless, while I remain alive, I'm going to drill you and quiz you on this. So you better learn it. You only have 305 verses to memorize. You get started today. You might have a half a dozen of them by the time you go, or so. I'm being optimistic. We can learn as much as we're capable of learning. Eat as much as you can handle on a daily basis, like the manna that came down from heaven. Each one gathered as much as they should eat. None was left over. Those who ate a lot gathered a lot. Those who ate a little gathered only a little. But they all gathered it day by day, morning by morning, which was their complete provision. In the 40-year wilderness wandering, which equates to your life in time. So 1 Corinthians 1:4, that was 1:3, now 1 Corinthians 1:4. I thank my God, Paul's very grateful. I thank my God always concerning you for the grace of God which was given you in Christ Jesus. Here it's always a gift, never a wage, never a work, always with Christ in view. Christ being berbios and berbion, both gift and giver. 1 Corinthians 3:10 says, according to the grace of God which was given to me, like a wise master builder, I laid a foundation, and another is building on it. But each man must be careful how he builds on it. Here we have one who was the arch enemy, who has become the architect or the wise master builder. The ignorant and avowed destroyer is now the wise master builder of the church. The chief of sinners has become the chief apostle. The greatest sinner has become the greatest saint. The staunch legalist is now the grace man. How about that? What a transformation has occurred. So why grace, and what will it do for you? It will make you grateful, graceful, and gracious in the end. 1 Corinthians 15:10. You can follow along. I'm just going on all the verses that have grace in it in 1 Corinthians. And then we'll go to 2 Corinthians, 3 Corinthians. No? Okay. You caught that. Good. I should hope so. I should think so by now and hope so by now. 1 Corinthians 15:10. But by the grace of God, Paul says, I am what I am. You thought Popeye said that. He did not. Paul did. I am what I am by the grace of God. And his grace toward me did not prove empty or vain, but I labored even more than all of them, all the other apostles. Yet, it wasn't me. It was the grace of God that was with me. Here we have a new man, a new nature, a new identity, and a new destiny. A new way of thinking, speaking, choosing, and acting. Under the heading, grace. A new aspiration, which is what? 5 words, that I may know him. To know him, to know the grace of God, for he is grace and truth personified. A new priority, which is the rich indwelling of the word, from a certain perspective, a particular type of teaching. In Romans 6:17, which is the word of God's grace, with a soul saturated and a mind marinated in grace, so that you never forget or take for granted all that God's done and given. 1 Corinthians 16:23, that was 1 Corinthians 15:10, 1 Corinthians 16:23. The grace of the Lord Jesus be with you. Grace of peace, first verse. The grace of our Lord Jesus be with you, the final verse. 1 Corinthians 16, first and last, before and after, from beginning to end, grace upon grace. Grace to start your day as you come boldly to the green room, that is to the throne of grace, and that is to receive mercy and find grace to help in time of need. And we need thee every hour, whatever time, for whatever it is that you need. Every day is a gracious gift. And there's grace for every day. 24-hour packets. Come and get it at the dispensary. Your prescription packet awaits you. Go get it so that you can have grace to get through the difficulties of day. So you won't be disgraced in the end. Those who get grace are never disgraced. There's no disgrace to those who live on grace, live by grace, live in grace. 2 Corinthians 1:2, once again, introducing the epistle, grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Those who receive grace get peace along with it. Irene, tranquility of soul, stability of mentality, and everything that they need to maintain their sanity in an insane world. You have sanity in an insane world. What a blessing that is. One you dare not miss out on, take for granted. Grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. We know where it comes from. It doesn't come from man. It doesn't come horizontally. It's vertical. It's through the grace pipeline from heaven into your soul through the Word of God, the Word of His grace. Every new epistle is enveloped with grace before and after. Grace in your face, I like to say. On the divine side, grace is all that God has done and given. On the human side, it's nothing more than gratitude. An attitude of gratitude, growing gratitude, that is, that recognizes and appreciates God's grace until your gratitude gauge is on full. You walk around with a full tank of grace. And the gratitude gauge is on full, stays on full at all times. That is, until we are made grateful first, graceful second, and gracious finally. From Webster's 1838 dictionary. Grateful means filled with gratitude. Surprise! Graceful means beautiful with dignity, elegant, agreeable in appearance, with an expression of dignity or elevation of mind or manner, used particularly of motion, looks, and speech, as a graceful walk, a graceful deportment, a graceful speaker, or a graceful air. And gracious means favorable, kind, and friendly. Favorable, kind, benevolent, merciful, disposed to forgive offenses and impart unmerited blessings. They give us an example in that worldly dictionary, Nehemiah 9:17. Thou art a God ready to pardon, gracious and merciful. Favorable, expressing kindness and favor, they give you then Luke 4:22. All bore him witness, that is Jesus, and wondered at the gracious words which proceeded from his mouth. That is proceeding from divine grace, acceptable and favored, virtuous and good, excellent, grateful, graceful, gracious, and becoming. All of these are the product or byproduct of graceful and gracious, our grateful and gracious Lord, who is living in us, who imparts it through the Word of His grace. We must only let or allow Him full access, residence, and circulation in our soul. That's Ephesians 3:16. Katoikeo means that He wants to dwell down in our souls, becoming ever more grateful, graceful, and gracious in our demeanor as we lilt effortlessly into Christ-likeness. If you're striving, you can't get there. You can't get there by trying or striving. That is for one and all. Same for all of us. 2 Corinthians 1:12 says, for our proud confidence is this, the testimony of our conscience. Conscience is very important where grace is concerned. That in holiness and godly sincerity, not in fleshly wisdom, but in the grace of God, we have conducted ourselves in the world, and especially toward you. The moral conscience, which is normally or naturally programmed with good and evil, norms and standards, in accordance with the Decalogue, even those who don't have the law, do by nature what's contained in the law and become a law unto themselves, Romans 2:14, is reprogrammed under grace now to reflect grace norms and doctrinal standards, a new way of thinking, speaking, and conducting one's life in accordance with the thoughts and ways of our role model, Jesus Christ. Ephesians 5:1-2. Walk around as God did in the person of Christ in love. Grateful, graceful, and gracious ways, unlike those naturally associated with humanity, the very best of which are found to be lacking or paltry in the end. Psalm 39:5b. Man is best to state his vanity. 2 Corinthians 4:15. Next. For all things are for your sake, so that the grace, which is spreading to more and more people, do it, Lord, may cause the giving of thanks to abound to the glory of God. The abundant giving of thanks characterizes the grace-oriented believer, along with contentment and exceeding great joy in believing. Not holier than thou, but much happier than thou. That's all. That's how it's measured. Spread around. It creates a wonderfully positive and edifying environment of encouragement, recognizing the blessings of the Lord to go unnoticed and are taken for granted by most people most of the time. You can say something like this when somebody says something positive or that reflects gratitude. You can say, "Isn't God gracious and good?" Might just open a door. Who knows? You're not forcing it open. Just tapping lightly to see if anyone's home. If anyone will answer the door. It must never be forceful. Rather, it must always be graceful and gracious, kind, and considerate. Even Rocky knew that. Peter. He says, sanctify Christ as Lord in your heart, always being ready to make a defense to everyone who asks you to give an account for the hope that lies within you with gentleness and reverence. Only if your speech is very gracious, seasoned with salt, will those who hear you be drawn. Colossians 4:6, let your speech always be with grace, as though seasoned with salt. Salt is grace that creates a real thirst and is a preservative for everything, everyone, everywhere, so that you will know how you should respond to each person. Always gracious. Very gracious. 2 Corinthians 6:1. Working together with him, we also urge you not to receive the grace of God in vain. Therefore, we learn all about it, live in it, walk around in it every day. Learn to speak and act graciously. It's something you have to learn to do. It's not natural. But it's also never too late. While we're on the subject of speech, as recipients of this abundant goodness, kindness, favor, and blessing from God, let us be sure that our communication is always or ever gracious. Here's a good one. Starting with those closest to us, those we live with, spouses and others, who we tend to say nasty things to or about. Stop it, Scott, and others, all of us. Since the tongue can't be tamed, according to James 3:8, every species of animal that exists on the earth can be tamed, but the tongue can't be tamed. James says, no one can tame the tongue. It's a restless evil and full of deadly poison. James 1:26 says, if anyone thinks himself to be religious and yet does not bridle the tongue. You can bridle the tongue, you can't tame it, but you can bridle it. But to seize his own heart, that man's religion is worthless. That's a good one. Since it can't be tamed, then you must learn how to bridle it, hold it, or bite it. Bite your tongue. Hold your tongue. Bridle your tongue. Ephesians 4:29 says, let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth. How do you do that? By bridling, holding, or biting your tongue. You're going to have a sore tongue. Let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good to the use of edifying. Building up only. Edifying means to build a house, to build up. That it may minister grace unto the hearers. Now 2 Corinthians 8:1. Now, brethren, we wish to make known to you the grace of God, which has been given in the churches of Macedonia. Paul's talking about their gifts and their giving. They gave to the work of God with great liberality so that many might hear the word of God in regions beyond. You folks here in this room have likewise done so, been done also from here, and it will be seen in the end how far it has gone. It's not what it appears to be. How many have been touched, helped, healed, and even saved. It'll all be revealed. God doesn't let you know all those things because you would become arrogant, self-important, and self-absorbed. And then he'd have to take you out because he resists the arrogant, gives grace to the humble believer. We know that when the word goes forth, it does not return void. Isaiah 55:11. So will my word be which goes forth from my mouth. It will not return to me empty without accomplishing what I desire, and without succeeding in the matter for which I sent it. It's God's business. You can't do it in a million years. 2 Corinthians 8:9. For you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, no one was richer than him, owns the cattle on 1,000 hills, everything else besides, everything in heaven and on earth. Yet for your sake, he became poor, so that through his poverty, you might become rich. The Lord is our only role model who teaches us how to live and to give, and that it's more blessed to give than it is to receive in Acts 20:35. Knowing also, those who give have received so much more than they could ever give away. The more you give, the more you get. Not seed faith. That's not how it works. Because you don't give to get. But when you give, then you get. He fills your coffers full, and it overflows yet even more to those who scatter abroad. What they have cannot be taken from them. The Lord is their portion forever. And they are far richer than Jeff Bezos, Elon Musk, and far richer than Donald Trump. All of them combined. Psalm 17:13. I love this. Listen to this passage. You say, what's it have to do with our message? Nothing and everything. Arise, O Lord. Confront him. Bring him low. Deliver my soul from the wicked with your sword. From men with your hand, O Lord. From men of the world, whose portion is in this life, and whose belly you fill with your treasure. You'd never know it because they'd never say it or recognize it. They're satisfied with children. and leave their abundance to their babes. As for me, I shall behold your face in righteousness, and I will be satisfied with your likeness when I awake. Wow! What a wonderful psalm. That's Psalm 17, 13 through 15. We see it all around us, those who live vicariously through children, who worship, listen to this, who worship their likeness in their offspring, versus those who will only be satisfied when they bear the likeness of their Father, God, and their Savior, Jesus Christ. Which are you? 2 Corinthians 9:8. God is able to make all grace abound to you, so that always having all sufficiency in everything, you may have an abundance for every good deed. By grace we're fully supplied, according to this passage and many others, but for every good deed, for random acts of kindness, always ready to move when prompted by the Spirit. After all, those so blessed as we are can surely be a blessing to someone else, someone who is in need. Though we would like to help everyone, we realize we cannot. But what we can do is do for one what we wish we could do for everyone. You can do that. See what that might be? Go ahead and do it. Nobody's stopping you. Many of you do that all the time anyway. But whatever you do, don't tell anybody about it, or you'll lose your reward. That's according to Matthew 6, 1 and 2. The Lord said, don't do it so that others know. Don't let your right hand even know what your left hand is doing. Do it secretly. And those things that are done secretly will be recognized publicly in the end, in the very end, when you'll be rewarded for them. 2 Corinthians 9:14. While they also by prayers on your behalf yearn for you because of the surprising grace of God, and you take them by surprise that you're kind and they're not. Whether other believers are concerned, where other believers are concerned, always pray for their growth in grace and the knowledge of Christ, that you might rejoice together and share that grace one with another. That is gratitude, being grateful, gracious, grateful, graceful, and gracious. 2 Corinthians 12:9. And he said to me, my grace is sufficient for you. I mentioned this before. For power is perfected in weakness. Most gladly, therefore, I would rather boast in my weakness, so that the power of Christ may pitch a tent over me. Grace meets and exceeds the need, whatever it may be. He uses the weakest, I don't know if you noticed or not, men and women, so that he might demonstrate his strength in a most gracious way. Hidden within is the wonderful provision of grace that meets the need of the moment. That's 2 Corinthians 4:7. He says, but we have this treasure in earthen vessels so that the surpassing greatness of the power will be of God, seem to be of God, and not from ourselves. 2 Corinthians 13:14. Next. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all. That's how he closes the epistle. Grace is loving kindness that provides and protects, gifts and governs, and if needs be, checks, even chastens. All things gracious are seen in our role model, the Lord Jesus, who is the quintessence of chesed and kais. Grace against grace. Old covenant, new. God has always been gracious, loving, and kind, but since Christ has come and died, the new covenant has superseded the old, and God being satisfied and pleased by Christ in every way has been rendered even more gracious than ever before. In this, the dispensation or administration of grace. That's what it's called, the church age. Ephesians 1:10, 3:9, and 1 Timothy 1:4. So to the 122, we add 183, bringing our total to 305. I can send these to you if you want them. I'll just send them in a little PDF, little Word document. There's only 305 of them. That should, I'd want to have this on my desk when the Lord comes. I'd want to have that on my desk when the Lord comes. And say, well, he had all 305 verses there for you written down, and the word grace or loving kindness is highlighted on every one of them. Why didn't you want that? Why don't you have it? Why didn't you read it? Well, I don't know. He goes, and I don't know either why you're not getting the fullness of a full reward. That's all. Because we're rewarded based on grace. The reward is reckoned of grace. It's like everything else. It's free. I did all the work for you. Just have it and learn it for yourself. Please don't miss it. I'm begging you, don't. So, David in the Old Testament puts us to shame in so many ways, but is so remarkable because he saw past the restrictions and limitations of the law, which was extent, all he had in 1,000, you know, people don't know when David lived. He lived in 1,000 B.C. That's when he lived. 1,000 B.C. And all he had was the Pentateuch, the five books of Moses. Nothing else had been written to that point, except perhaps Job. But we don't know that for sure. So we're not told that anywhere. So he's remarkable. He saw past the restriction and limitation of law to this overflowing, overwhelming, overreaching, and overarching grace. And lived by it, for it, and in it all the days of his life. He mentions it often in the Psalms, but that's for next time. Psalm 17:7, 25:6, 26:3, loving kindness, Raham, compassion, loving kindness. Over and over and over again. Let's pray. Father, thank you for your word. Thank you for the attention of the audience this morning and giving us the grace, ability to listen and concentrate and to retain what was spoken so that we might meditate upon your word and be those who are very radically and continually oriented to your grace. Those who are graceful, those who are grateful, graceful, and gracious, and who have their gratitude gauge on full, needle buried on full. We pray these things in Christ's matchless name. Amen.
We could all stand.